Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, friends. I hope your year is off to a great start. It has been such a full month for us. We just spent a wonderful weekend with leaders from all over South Asia that are part of a year-long church multiplication training. It was so encouraging to hear how God is working all across our nation. We had our MBB friends in town from our previous city as a part of that, which was such a joy. And Jesse is not with me today because he is on a fishing boat with Gus right now, with a few other dads and sons on a father-son trip, and they refused to take me and my daughters along. So we are feeling free to have a bit more fun this week as well, having a girls' week together. And I hope you listened to our last two episodes with Nathan Shank. Man, I enjoyed those discussions so much. Nathan is full of wisdom from the Word and for mission strategy. So I encourage you to listen to those. And we are interrupting our series on the core missionary task to share a fresh word with you today that I hope will encourage you as you begin the year. It's the end of January by now. I don't know if you are the type to set New Year's resolutions or goals, but every year I at least take a few hours and just look back on the year that has passed. I go through it month by month, and I just make a list of the important events, the highs, the lows, patterns I see, even mundane things. And it just helps me to keep track of the story of God's faithfulness to me throughout my life. And so I did that this year a couple weeks ago. And as I looked back on 2023, in the midst of many observations and many feelings, certainly much thankfulness, much evidence of God's faithfulness to me, I also noticed some disappointment in my heart over a lack of my intimacy with God during some seasons of the year. So I wonder how you feel as you look back on your relationship with the Lord in 2023. Are you content with it? I did share last summer in an episode about the season I had of feeling numb and unmotivated, and oh goodness, I look back and see God's faithfulness to me. It was like he had me on a short leash and did not let me wander, but he consistently drew me back close to him. But I will be honest, I still feel a bit unsatisfied with the level of intimacy that I experienced consistently throughout the year. And Jesse likes to call that a holy discontent when the Lord is calling us to more in a certain area. So I continued to process this with the Lord, and I realized I really have a strong desire inside my heart for greater intimacy with the Lord this year. I want to experience greater intimacy with the Lord than I ever have in my life. And it even feels a bit vulnerable to say that out loud to you. And I hesitated to fully share that with the Lord because of shame over my lack of self-discipline and my lack of desire for God, and that voice of shame that says it's silly to think I would even be able to change myself that much this year. And the Lord showed me fear in my heart as well, fear that I would miss out on intimacy with him this year because of my own lack of self-discipline, and even fear that I could make some efforts to pursue God and then not really experience anything special. So I have known since my childhood that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. But even this idea of a personal relationship with God can become stale to us. We can fall into ruts. We can go into autopilot. We can certainly take it for granted. Or we can plateau instead of going to higher heights and deeper depths of intimacy with the Lord. And I think this is a common tendency for people who've been Christians for a long time and people, probably all believers, in this age of nonstop busyness and distractions. So yes, I have a personal and real relationship with Jesus, and I am thankful, but I want more. I want to hear God's voice in fresh and real ways often, and I want to feel his presence in powerful ways often. What do you want for your relationship with God in 2024, sister, brother? Does that desire resonate with you at all? Do you have that deep in your heart? Much more important than my thoughts and my desires is, of course, what God tells us about our relationship with him. But before we look into the word, I want to define the word intimacy a bit, because it is a word that is used in a lot of different ways. What does it mean to have an intimate relationship with someone? Think about a close relationship in your life, someone who knows you well and loves you well. What are the essentials to make an intimate relationship? I quickly jotted down a few things. First, we have to have time together often. It requires work and time. We have to make time for one another. We aren't naturally intimate with someone. There's no shortcuts to that. We have to put in the time. Secondly, it requires communication. We get to know one another more and more through honest sharing and attentive listening. We have to talk. We have to choose to share our feelings, to bring those feelings out of our heart, and particularly the hard stuff. And we need to listen well. Along with time and communication, we have to have love and trust. Intimacy is only possible when we trust that the other person truly loves us and accepts us. Otherwise, we will hide back parts of ourselves from that person. That love and trust is what allows the honest communication. And knowing someone and loving someone, that goes together, right? The more known we feel, the more powerful that love is to us. And in intimate relationships, we feel like we know one another inside and out. So my equation is time together plus honest communication plus love and trust equals intimacy. We feel connected. We feel known and loved. We feel secure. Because we're human, we never do this perfectly. So when we feel disconnected or when we hurt one another, that does lead to another necessity for intimacy, which is repair. When we feel disconnected or we hurt one another, we have to notice and fix it. And we confess and we listen and we forgive. And we actually, through these little moments of disconnection, we can actually come to greater levels of understanding and trust in our relationships. So those are the components of an intimate relationship, according to me, in my expertise on the topic. So a question that I have is, can you do this from a distance? And we all know the inherent challenges of long-distance relationships. We recently did premarital counseling with a couple who they were living in different states, and I remember them talking about how much they hated living apart, and they found communication really difficult, even though they were messaging and talking every day. Why? Because we all know something special happens when you're physically together. And this is called by many the power of presence, of feeling one another's presence in togetherness. That's why messages and phone calls are not the same as being physically together. Body language, eye contact, physical touch, tone of voice, these are often more important and more powerful than the actual words that we speak. And just the feeling, the experience of being physically together in the same space with someone is powerful. So intimacy thrives on time physically together. The more, the better. So we can take these same principles of intimacy into our relationship with God. We spend time with God. We communicate with God. We trust his love for us. But how do we experience God's presence? We don't experience Him physically the same way as other people, right? We don't see God walk into the room. We don't see His face. We don't give Him a hug. We cannot touch Him. We can't see His facial expression while we are talking to Him. We cannot audibly hear His voice, at least normally. And if you just heard these facts that I just said, it could seem like we're trying to have an intimate relationship with someone who is invisible and mute. We know we can communicate with Him through prayer, but how does He communicate with us? What do we have? We have one really long letter from Him. But again, if you were just to look at it from like an outsider, it's not even a personal love letter just to me. It's written to a huge group of people and was written more than 2,000 years ago. So are we trying to have a long-distance relationship with someone that we only have one really old impersonal letter from? We know this is not the reality. Let's look at what the Word says to see, as believers, what should we expect in our relationship with God? Should we expect intimacy? Is it possible that He loves us and He saved us, but He isn't that interested in increasing our intimacy with Him? And if we can expect intimacy, how do we experience that power of presence with an invisible person who doesn't normally use an audible voice? How do we feel and experience His presence and feel that intimacy? That is a question that I started the new year with. And I have been searching the Bible on this topic the last few weeks, and it has resulted in a renewed sense of assurance and awe that God certainly does want a close, active, intimate, real relationship with me and you. That is always His desire. And I really felt like God rebuked me that, Shaney, this is not a small thing. That is wrong thinking. You never want intimacy with me, daughter, than I want with you. You never want that. That is never the case. That is wrong and unbiblical. We should be assured that He is ready and willing to meet with us and commune with us daily and throughout our days in powerful, real ways. I believe the Bible teaches that and proves it thoroughly. I've been digging into the Word and just pursuing intimacy with God this month. And God has met me in very powerful and sweet ways to reassure me of His love, has brought me to tears. And I want you to feel fresh assurance and awe that yes, God does want you to experience a closer relationship with Him in 2024. I want to stir up inside you some holy discontent if you feel like you've plateaued in your relationship with the Lord. And I want you to be fully convinced so that you pursue meeting with God with excitement and expectation in 2024, so much so that you're willing to sacrifice for it. So throughout my study, just looking up words all throughout the Bible, the voice of God, how He speaks to people, different people's relationships with God, I've just been journaling, typing these out this month, and I came up with a list of 7 pieces of biblical evidence that God wants an intimate relationship with you. Can we do it? 7 pieces of biblical evidence to prove to you and to me that God wants a close, active relationship with us. Number 1, the storyline of the Bible is based on God relating to people. The Bible, from the beginning to the end, is all about God creating, loving, delighting in, speaking to, listening to, coming after, and rescuing His people. As I went through Scripture, one verse that really stuck out to me was Deuteronomy 4:7 that says, For what nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? What nation has a God so near to it as the Lord is to us when we call upon him? God choosing a people for himself, talking to them, rescuing them. This is not normal. This had never happened before in history. And we Christians, we are the only ones on the planet who have this privilege that we can have a real relationship with God. We're the only ones believing in and worshiping the living God. And this is the story that we step into when we become a Christian. Number two, our God is a triune God. Our God is relational in his nature. And he is more relational than people. We as people can escape into isolation and individualism. But our God never does that because he is three persons in one. He's relational in his very nature. And he created us in his image to be relational with one another and with him. Before the fall, we know Adam and Eve experienced a perfect, close relationship with God. They were naked before him with nothing to hide. He designed us to live in relationship with him. He is interested in more than just saving us. Our relationship with him is very important to him. And God uses many types of human relationships to describe our relationship with him. Because just one type of human relationship could never encapsulate all the many facets of our relationship with our triune God. So I'm going to talk about four types of human relationships and how God is the ultimate fulfillment of all of those and even better than any human relationship could be. You can probably guess what some of these are. First of all, God is our Father and we are his children, and he loves and provides for us as a perfect Father. In Luke 11, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, what did he tell them the first word should be that comes out of their mouth every time they pray? Father. Every time we come to God, he wants us to remember we are talking to our perfect heavenly Father. Why is that relationship so important for us to remember? Instead of just saying God, why should we say Father? Well, right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus explains it more, and he compares human fathers with our heavenly Father. And he says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As a parent, I can understand God's love a bit better now that I have experienced this powerful, unconditional love I feel for my children. When our first daughter, Priya, was born, and she lived for less than a day, and I knew in that moment I would give my life for her. She had never done anything for me, and I was ready to give my life for her. That gives us this tiny taste of how God loves us. We are evil, and we can understand the powerful love of a parent for a child. And God says, how much more is his love for us? How much more can we trust in God's provision of good gifts to us? And then he sneaks in that kind of surprising twist at the end of this passage, because he doesn't say, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? That's what we expect him to say. But he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the reason is obvious. It's because the Holy Spirit is the best gift he could ever give us, because it's more of him. It's more of his presence and his power in our lives. And how wonderful to remember he wants to share his presence with us. So God created every person with a deep heart desire for their Father's love and approval. And that is intended to teach us about God's love for us and point us towards our Heavenly Father to ultimately fulfill that desire. Along with being our Father, the Bible also teaches that Jesus Christ is our husband, and we as the church are his bride. So God himself is telling us he wants our relationship with him to be similar to a marriage relationship, which is characterized by a one flesh union. What else could it possibly mean when Jesus tells us he is our husband than that he wants intimacy with us? That is what a groom wants with his bride. A groom does not only accept his bride or agree to live with her, he pursues her and he wants to win her entire heart. Don't forget, we're talking about the perfect groom here, a groom with perfect love. Deuteronomy 4:23-24 says, "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Do not forget your covenant with God, your exclusive love and devotion to God, because he is a jealous God." A couple chapters later in Deuteronomy 7, it says that God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. And in Isaiah 43, it says, "I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. You are my possession. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." God sounds a bit possessive here, right? In a romantic, earthly relationship, it is possible for the man or woman to be overly jealous, to be possessive, which feels suffocating or controlling. We don't own our spouses, but in our relationship with our husband, Jesus Christ, it is good news that he is possessive of us. He calls us his treasured possession, and that is good news because of his perfect love and trustworthiness. This makes me feel so safe and secure in his love to know intimacy with Jesus is not all on me. This is not my idea. He came after me like Hosea went after Gomer. This is not a Ruth situation. This is not me going to Jesus, asking him to marry me. Jesus came after me, won my heart, kicked out all the other boyfriends, and continues to come after me and keep my heart wholly devoted to him. And that is why God hates idolatry. He wants an intimate, exclusive love relationship with us. He is a jealous husband, and he refuses to share our hearts with anyone or anything else. Doesn't that make you feel so secure in his love? So along with Father, along with husband, God is our master. He's our king. He's our Lord. He has all authority over our lives. And because he is a holy God, our relationship to him includes a reverence and a fear of him that we should never have in any human relationship. Our fathers have authority over us, but we don't worship them. Our husbands, we submit to our husbands, but we don't bow down to them in worship. But with God, he has all authority over our lives, and we have a reverence and fear of him. I was surprised as I went through the word and looked at all the different examples of God talking to people to see the number of times that people fell on their faces in fear before God. God's voice is powerful, and our relationship with God is different than with our best friend. And his presence, his holiness is powerful. It makes us see our sin and confess it and worship him. And that doesn't happen with people. Also, we can take or leave what people say to us, advice they give us, their opinions, but we must only and always agree with God. We must always obey his voice. Even when we don't ask him for his opinion or his directives, We have to always obey what he tells us. That's part of having a relationship with God. We're not his equals, and he is offended when we take his words lightly or disobey them or forget about them. Sometimes, like Isaiah, we kind of sign up to do things for God. Isaiah raised his hand, said, "Yes, I'll go." But other times, we're minding our own business, and God just interrupts us and tells us to do something that we don't want to do, that we're not signing up for, but we have to obey him, like Jonah. And if we want to hear God's voice, it would be hypocritical to ask God to speak with us and then want to wait and see what he says and decide if we will obey or not. If we want to hear his voice, we should decide beforehand that we will fully obey whatever he tells us. So in our relationship with God, we experience him as our perfect loving father, as our husband who jealously loves us and pursues us. But it's different than our human relationships because we also have this aspect of fear and reverence and wholehearted obedience to his every command. And this wholehearted obedience is only possible when we love and trust God, because it is when we experience his love that fills our hearts with love and trust of him that makes us want to obey him and makes us want to share his love with others. And evangelism becomes a joy, not a duty. So he is our father, he is our husband, he is our master and Lord. And finally, the fourth one is that he is our friend. Jesus told us that he is our friend. In John 15, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." So are you Jesus's servant or his friend? Paul regularly called himself a servant or a slave of Christ. So what is Jesus saying here? The norm for a servant and master relationship is that it is works-based, not love-based. Our relationship with Jesus, even though it is good and right to call ourselves his servants, this is not a normal servant-master relationship because he is not an impersonal master who only values us for the work we do for him. It's more like a friendship because he's such a loving master and he shares his heart with us. How loving and humble of Jesus to lower himself, to call us his friends, a relationship that insinuates almost like equality, being peers. So God uses all of these different types of human relationships, father, husband, master, friend, to teach us different facets of how he relates to us. And the truth is, our relationship with Jesus, it is better than any of these relationships could ever be because only God loves us perfectly. God is never selfish. God is never self-protective like we are. God is perfectly secure. He's able to actively keep on loving us without ever getting tired of it. When we are mean to God or hurt him or neglect him, as we do every person in our lives, he doesn't retreat or withdraw. He doesn't punish us or get revenge like people do. He doesn't even self-protect or put up healthy boundaries, as is so common for us to talk about these days. Instead, he stays right beside us, continuing to put himself in a position that we could hurt him. That is amazing. And only God can fully know and understand us. Only God is perfectly trustworthy, and only God's love can satisfy the deepest desires of our souls. He really wants to relate to you. Do you believe him? Do you believe his fatherly love for you? How proud he is of you, that he will always protect you and provide for you. My father would be offended and hurt if I didn't trust how much he loves me, if I needed help and didn't go to him. And similarly, it is not godly or honoring to our Heavenly Father to minimize his love for us or to fail to accept it or to think that somehow we are the exception. Do you believe that God wants intimacy with you that is closer than the best marriage relationship? Again, I don't know what God could mean when he says he is our husband, if that does not include a desire for intimacy with us. Do you ever just bask in his possessive and jealous love for you just as you are? He wants you to be naked and unashamed before him, completely confident in how much he loves you. So this month, as I was just spending time with the Lord and reading the word and listening to his voice, I felt like God told me to stand in front of the mirror and place my hand upon my head and say, God's hand of favor is upon me, because I could sense that I was resisting his love and his favor. And this, it just brings tears to my eyes as I share it with you, because it was such a powerful moment for me. And it might sound hokey and emotional to you, but you might try it. And if you sense any hesitation in your heart, just ask the Lord to show you where that hesitation comes from. Okay. Along with the storyline of the Bible being all about God coming after us and our God being a relational God and all these different facets of our relationship with him. Number three, we have God's Spirit living inside us. Obviously, in every human relationship, the person we are relating to lives outside of us. But in our relationship with God, he comes and lives inside our soul. So in that sense, we have a unique closeness with God that we cannot experience with people. And God's Spirit is powerful. He does things inside us to make him know him and feel him that people cannot do to us. My most intimate human relationship is with Jesse. But Jesse cannot get inside my heart and stir up love for him like Jesus can. And Jesus can reveal himself to us in special and powerful ways, and he can fill our hearts full of feelings of love and worship of him. And even though he is invisible, we cannot see his eye contact or feel his hug, he can make us feel seen and heard in ways that humans cannot do. We can feel God's presence, and he loves to give us more of his Holy Spirit, like we just saw in his promise in Luke 11. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit." Yes, if you are saved, you already have the Holy Spirit, but we can ask for fresh fillings over and over. There's always more to experience of God, because our God is infinite. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." That doesn't mean we search and search for God and never find him. It means there's always more to discover. He is infinite. We will search and search for eternity, discovering and experiencing more and more of God. Isn't that exciting? Have you gotten bored in your relationship with God? I confess, I have at times. And I hope this will stir up a desire in you that there's so much more that God offers, and that he wants to fill you with his Spirit and make you feel his presence. He wants to speak to you and use you. Following God should be an adventure every day as we listen for his voice and promptings and obey him. That's what he invites us into when he invites us to abide in Jesus. So we see in the Bible that the entire storyline of the Bible is about our God coming after us and rescuing us to have a relationship with us. We see that God goes to great lengths to describe this perfect, loving relationship with us as our Father, as our husband, as our master, as our friend. And we actually have God living inside us, and we are in Christ. Again, how much more intimacy could we ask for than that? I hope you all will hang with me. And in our next episode, I will finish out the rest of these biblical proofs of how much God wants intimacy with us so that we will pursue it wholeheartedly in 2024.